Time to get this business on its feet, Prefect, he snapped. We at Infinidim Enterprises are...
You at what?
Infinidim Enterprises. We have bought out the guide.
Infinidim?
We spent millions on that name, Prefect. Start liking it or start packing. Ford shrugged. He had nothing to pack. The galaxy is changing, said Harl. We've got to change with it. Go with the market. The market is moving up. New aspirations, new technology. The future is...
Don't tell me about the future, said Ford. I've been all over the future. Spend half my time there. It's the same as anywhere else. Any when else. Whatever. Just the same old stuff in faster cars and smellier air.
That's one future, said Harl. That's your future, if you accept it. You've got to learn to think multidimensionally. There are limitless futures stretching out in every direction from this moment, and from this moment, and from this. Billions of them bifurcating every instant. Every possible position of every possible electron balloons out into billions of probabilities. Billions and billions of shining, gleaming futures. You know what that means?
You're dribbling down your chin.
Billions and billions of markets!
I see, said Ford. So you sell billions and billions of guides?
No,
said Harl, reaching out for his handkerchief and not finding one. Excuse me, he said, but this gets me so excited. Ford handed him his towel.
The reason we don't sell billions and billions of guides, continued Harl after wiping his mouth, is the expense. What we do is we sell one guide billions and billions of times. We exploit the multidimensional nature of the universe to cut down on manufacturing costs. And we don't sell to penniless hitchhikers. What a stupid notion that was. Find the one section of the market that, more or less by definition, doesn't have any money and try to sell to it. No, we sell to the affluent business traveller and his vacationing wife in a billion, billion different futures. This is the most radical, dynamic and thrusting business venture in the entire multidimensional infinity of space-time probability ever.
You want me to be its restaurant critic? Said Ford. We would value your input.
Kill! Shouted Ford. He shouted it at his towel. The towel leapt up out of Harl's hands.
This was not because it had any motive force of its own, but because Harl was so startled at the idea that it might. The next thing that startled him was the sight of Ford Prefect hurtling across the desk at him, fist first. In fact, Ford was just lunging for the credit card. But you don't get to occupy the sort of position that Harl occupied and the sort of organization in which Harl occupied it without developing a healthily paranoid view of life. He took the sensible precaution of hurling himself backwards and striking his head a sharp blow on the rocket-proof glass, then subsided into a series of worrying and highly personal dreams. Ford lay on the desk, surprised at how swimmingly everything had gone. He glanced quickly at the piece of plastic he now held in his hand. It was a DinoCharge credit card with his name already embossed on it, and an expiry date 2 years from now, and was possibly the single most exciting thing Ford had ever seen in his life. Then he clambered over the desk to see to Harl. He was breathing fairly easily. It occurred to Ford that he might breathe more easily yet without the weight of his wallet bearing down on his chest, so he slipped it out of Harl's breast pocket and flipped through it. Fair amounts of cash, credit tokens, Ultra Golf club membership, other club memberships, photos of someone's wife and family, presumably Harl's, but it was hard to be sure these days. Busy executives often didn't have time for a full-time wife and family and would just rent them for weekends.
Ha!
He couldn't believe what he'd just found. He slowly drew out from the wallet a single and insanely exciting piece of plastic that was nestling amongst a bunch of receipts. It wasn't insanely exciting to look at. It was rather dull, in fact. It was smaller and a little thicker than a credit card and semi-transparent. If you held it up to the light, you could see a lot of holographically encoded information and images buried pseudo-inches deep beneath its surface. It was an identity-ease. And it was a very naughty and silly thing for Harl to have lying around in his wallet, though it was perfectly understandable. There were so many different ways in which you were required to provide absolute proof of your identity these days that life could easily become extremely tiresome just from that factor alone, never mind the deeper existential problems of trying to function as a coherent consciousness in an epistemologically ambiguous physical universe. Just look at cash point machines, for instance. Queues of people standing around waiting to have their fingerprints read, their retinas scanned, bits of skin scraped on the nape of the neck, and undergoing instant, or nearly instant, a good 6 or 7 seconds in tedious reality, genetic analysis. Then having to answer trick questions about members of their family they didn't even remember they had, and about their recorded preferences for tablecloth colours. And that was just to get a bit of spare cash for the weekend. If you were trying to raise a loan for a jet car, sign a missile treaty, or pay an entire restaurant bill, things could get really trying.